All right, I want to go over some scriptures. So last week, who was here and heard David's testimony last week? Okay, David was a man, for those of you who didn't hear it, he did like 25 straight years in prison. And he's only been out like a year and a half. And he got out and he got into Pathway Church, and I could not believe it that he was going. I'm like, you're okay going to Pathway Church? Because like when I first got out, you can ask my sister, I couldn't go through Aldi's without having an anxiety attack. Because I was just too nervous about, like, too many people in the store, too many people in the row. We finally made it through the first row, and no kidding, someone took my shopping cart, didn't they? I had so much stress getting through that first aisle of Aldi's, then we turned around, and the cart was gone. And I could have just walked out. I would have walked out if Patty wouldn't have been there, because it's like, I can't start this over. And I only went through one aisle of Aldi's. Like, I was just too, like, if I went into Walmart, it was the same thing. I couldn't be in the aisle with too many people, and it was too many choices, too much to look at. So going to church, well, church wasn't even on my radar for the first 11 years that I was out of prison, because I went back to just everything, bad relationships, smoking crack, drinking. So it wasn't until I was 44 when I finally got ready to go into church. And then the only reason I got saved, the only reason I finally surrendered my life to Jesus, was because I just wanted peace. I was just in survival mode. I just wanted to, I had a job where I had to work like 60, 70 hours a week. I figured I'm just going to work, be at home by myself, maybe go to church on Sunday, and wait till I die. That was the only reason I became a Christian. I just wanted peace. I just wanted the drama, the turmoil, all the noise to stop, and I just wanted to wait till I died and then hopefully go to heaven. That was my only reason for becoming a Christian. I had no intention of befriending anybody, of trying to be family with nobody. I didn't know nothing about all that. But God, like, his plans for us is so much better, so much better. Because me being a Christian all by myself is like flour and water. It's just dry. It's just a paste. It's just a tasteless paste when you just try to be a Christian all by yourself. I mean, you can do good, like people... like Dewan just said, when people just like, well, just me and Jesus, we got a good thing going on. How long can you maintain that by yourself? Because the Bible says we have to stir one another up. We got to stir one another up to good works. So if you take like flour, eggs, and milk, guess what you get? Pancakes. Like the more ingredients you start adding in there, the better dishes you're going to come out with. Biscuits and gravy. I mean, it gets better and better. The more stuff that you add into it, so then your life isn't just bland. You just trying to do it by yourself, because people think that being a Christian is boring because they're saying, oh, just me and Jesus. And then what? You're just going to sit home, just you and Jesus, and you cannot stir yourself up all by yourself. But I mean, there is no, I applaud those of you who are seeking Jesus, who are making it on your own with him, but there is so much more that he has when you involve yourself in the body of Christ. And the, what I have found, one good thing I have found out is the body of Christ is not just one church. Because like we would travel, so if I, boy, the things the Lord did with me when I was just saying, I just want to get through this all by myself. I've got to travel to go to different states doing prison ministry, and we would end up going to churches in different states. And I found out any church I walk into is my Father's house. Any place I go, that is my Father's house, and I belong there. And like Lyle said, it's what you're bringing. Like I kept expecting, like I thought, man, if I went, I've waited all week for worship. And then if the worship wasn't on point, I was all like, man, this was a waste. But I didn't know that I could worship at home by myself. I could worship at home all week long. I didn't have to only worship on Sundays. I could get my worship on in the living room all by myself. Like, I didn't have to wait. I didn't have to expect the church to have to fill me up. But it's a good thing. You do need to go to church to get filled up. But don't put all your expectations on what they have to do for you. There's something we got to bring. We go out of obedience because the Lord told us, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we go out of obedience to worship. So it's like, just go in there and say, good morning, Jesus. Thank you for being home. I told him that so many times I would go in, I would say, thank you for being home. Thank you for being here waiting for me. And that made it start being different, because I wasn't going for what I needed to receive, but because he told me to come. He told us to come and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So that is my time. to go in and tell him how much I love him, how great he is, how majestic he is, how wonderful he is. That is my time to thank him for getting me through the week. Amen. So, all that to say. So, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. Would anybody like a Bible? Are you guys going to look it up on your phones? I just need to see some movement. Because we have some Bibles out here if anybody wants a Bible. Maybe 5, 6.
Yeah.
Just fake it. Just hold it and act like you're flipping through the pages, and that'll satisfy me. So that's what we're going to talk about today. It's just about the body of Christ. And don't feel like you don't belong in a church. Don't feel like you're so different than other people, because that's what I thought. When I first went to church, I thought, they're looking at me funny. I've seen the way that lady looked at me. I went home, and then one lady said something to me one time that offended me, and I went home and told the Lord. I said, did you hear what she said? I sat down on the floor and literally said that to him. I said, did you hear what she said? Because I wanted to call somebody and talk about her. But I thought, before I call somebody and talk about her, I'm going to talk to the Lord. So that was something else that the Lord tells us not to do, is not to gossip, not to spread like ill will or division amongst one another. We are going to 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Okay. Say amen when you get there. Brandon, how you doing?
Page 931, I believe.
Yeah, it
is. Page 931. Amen. Can I get a witness? All right, I want somebody to read the first five verses, 12 to 17. So, like at verse 13, when he's saying whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, he's saying no matter what your background, no matter who your family is, no matter where you came from, no matter what you've done, no matter what, you're a part of this body. You belong to this body. God created you, and he created you on purpose. You were not a mistake. He made you to be a part of his body. So he said, just like the ear can't tell your hand, I don't need you. Look how different the ear and the hand is, but they can't say that they don't need each other. So don't never walk up into a church and look at somebody and say, I don't have nothing these people can use. What can I do here? They don't need me. They need you. You're a part of the body. So just like if you had like a little pinky fingernail that was turning black, like that would bother you. We don't want any part of the body to be diseased and to not be used, because we're all needed in the body of Christ. You don't even know the giftings of what God has put inside of you and how you can bless other people. And my dad used to tell me, like, I needed to tell my testimony to people in prison. And I thought, no, somebody else can tell them about Jesus. I don't need to go back there. I didn't feel like I had anything to say that would help anybody. What could I possibly tell him? You got to do your time. You got to do your time. That's all I can tell him. But there is hope in Jesus, and everything looks different from Jesus. through Jesus. It's like, you don't have to deal with hopelessness. You don't have to deal with depression. You don't have to deal with despair. You don't have to feel like you're not as good as anybody else, because Jesus has made it an even playing field. It's all equal at the cross. Amen. He's made us all equal. Amen. He said, no matter what, Jew or Greek, slave or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We've all been given the ability to consume the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to fill us richly, to empower us, to cause us to be overcomers and more than conquerors. We all have that ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is not one person that he has made when he has said, I do not know what I'm going to do with Brandon. Man, oh man, I look at him. No, he said, that's my son. Amen. He said, that is my son right there. And I got many, many good plans for him. All right, 18 to 27, somebody.
But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body. But that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Amen. Amen. Like, if you don't think your whole body is connected, tell your feet to go to the bathroom without you and see what will happen. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, the body, your body was made to move and to work together. And God's, like, he, over and over in the Bible, I found so many scriptures about the body of Christ. And I thought, man, we'll never get through tonight if I go through all these scriptures. But God intended for us to work together. And when he says that one member, like, is not less honorable, when I was going, like, each church that I went to three churches before I found the church where I felt like I was supposed to be. And in all three of those churches, when I went in, I volunteered to clean the bathrooms. And every one of those churches gave me a key. It's like, you don't know me. Like, you don't know who I am. You're giving me a key. And so I had a key, like, to three different churches. Not all at once, but each church that I went to gave me a key. And I got to go in there and clean the bathrooms and sweep the floors and vacuum. And I got to clean all the pews and the seats and everything. And I got to be alone with the Lord. Oh, I love going in there by myself. I know one time I was home and I hadn't been clean, not even a year. And I don't know what triggered me. Something triggered me. And you know how your brain gets to, and I run to the church and I open that door. And when I shut that door, I just leaned against it. And I was like, because I'm like, I'm here. I made it. I'm here. I'm safe. I had to get to my safe place. I had to get to where I know my Father was. And then there was another time when I went to the church, because I would tell them that sometimes I'm going to just go to the church and pray by myself if you don't mind. They gave me a key. So one time I had went to the church and I had went in by myself and I went up and I knelt at the altar and I was so tired. And I said, Lord, I want to take a nap. So I laid down and I slept in front of the altar for 45 minutes. And I got up and I thanked him and I went home. And I thought, I am so glad nobody come in when I told them I was going to be there praying and see me sleeping. Because they'd have been like, man, Pam, you're sleeping on the job. But I was so at peace there. I was so at home there because I was in my Father's house where I was safe. And I could go in there and I could just sleep and I could rest. But I began by just cleaning the toilets. And I talked about those people in my head. I was like, I bet you don't leave your bathroom at home like this. Like, I talked about them a few times, but I had to get over that because I went in as a servant. Like Lyle said, when you go in, see what you can do for the church. See what you can give back to them. And don't expect Like we do, we want people to acknowledge us, but maybe they're not going to. And sometimes people might look at us crazy. We're like, oh, I see the way they're looking at me right now. I'm coming back here. But they might be looking at you because of the way you're looking at them. Like, do you realize the expression on your own face? I had a friend that used to tell me, she'd say, fix your face. Because I wouldn't realize the way I was looking at people. And she'd have to tell me. So you don't realize that when you're feeling isolated, when you're already feeling waiting to be offended, we go in with the spirit of offense a lot of times because we've been hurt so many times. So we put this shield around us. People sense that. And they're going to give you space because they're going to be like, that person looks angry. I hope Jesus does something with them. But so a lot of times people don't approach us because we look unapproachable. But if you go to a church and if it doesn't feel like it's the right one, then go to another one. Find and don't say, I'm not going to try this no more. God has a place for you. He has a place where he wants to meet you. So at the very first church that I went to, I didn't know how to be friends with people. So this one lady decided she was going to be my friend. So I was living in an apartment by myself, and I didn't know how to be friends with women because I had just gone out of being in relationships with women for 20 years. So I didn't know how to be a friend with a woman without trying to take it a step further. And so I was afraid to have a woman in my apartment alone with me, and I was too ashamed to tell anybody about that. Well, she would come. I don't know how she found out my address, but she would come knocking on the door thinking we were going to have coffee. I'd look through the peephole and see it was her, and I would go sit back down in the chair and wouldn't let her in. She left flowers at my door. She leave a card at my door. She left $100 at my door one time. I lived there a whole year, and she never seen the inside of that apartment because I could not let nobody get close to me. I couldn't let them in. I did not want them in my space. One time, I did invite my sister and her husband over there for dinner, but I was so uncomfortable being around them that when I was ready, like right after dinner, I was ready for them to leave, and I didn't know how to ask them to leave, so I went and made some to-go plates of the food, and I went and sat it beside them, because I thought, okay, now they'll know if I set the to-go bag here, it's time for you to go. I didn't know how to be friends. I didn't know how to be friends. I didn't know how to be family, so the Lord gave me a dog. And for like a year and a half, it was me and that dog. Because I didn't know how to be friends with people. I didn't know how to let people in and be close to them. So then finally, so I had quit going to that church. I was going to another church. And I got so mad at this church because every month they had a carry-in. And I'm a prideful person. If you're carrying food in, I'm going to carry food in. But I'm not going to sit down and eat with you. I don't know you like that. So I got every month, I was like, they just ate together last month. Why do you got to do this again? I was so mad at them. I went there for 6 years. Every month, I carried in a crock pot, took it, sat on the table, because you're not going to see me walking in empty-handed and talk about me. So every month, I carried in food, set it down. I'd go home as soon as the service was over. I'd wait about an hour and a half, and I'd go back and get my empty crock pot. It took me 4 years before I could sit down and eat with those people. Because I would get so mad at them. But I had to keep going there because the worship was so great. And God kept showing up in the worship. I was worshiping one time, and all of a sudden, all these jewels was just raining down around me until they were all the way up under my armpits. And in this church, you could run up and get on the microphone. And I ran up to that microphone. I said, "We're rich! We're rich! We're rich!" Because our praise was turning into all these jewels that was coming down from heaven, and God let me see it. I had to go back, and I didn't like those people. But the Lord, because they wanted to be family, they were all about community. One time I didn't show up. I told them I was going to be there, and at the last minute, I decided to go to church with my parents. So I get home, and I was at Miami Homes through Fort Wayne Housing off of Nutman. And I was there 6 years. And when I got home, my neighbors were saying, "These two ladies came looking for you." I'm like, stalkers? Like, Christians are stalkers. If you didn't show up at church, they came looking for you. But they were determined to make me their family. And I didn't want to be family. But finally, after 6 years, they got me. Finally, they got me. And you know what? It is the best thing When you have people that you can call, when you have people that will laugh with you, when you have people that will cry with you, when you have people who say, "We missed you, how are you doing?" It's like, what have I been missing all my life? People are good. There are good people. Like, we judge them because of the people that we ran into in our past or because of past experiences, whether it was in church or out of church. But you got to give God's people a chance. You got to give them a chance to know you. Give them a chance to accept you. Give them a chance to love you. Let that feed your spirit. God did not make you to be an island. He did not make you just to drift off somewhere and you just got to survive till it's over. He made you to flourish. And when you get in a body of believers, you grow. It builds your character. You're going to meet people who are going to rub you wrong. But you know what the Lord does? It's so beautiful, because when somebody rubs you wrong and when you can go home and come back, oh, I used to be so angry at these Christians. But I found out the Lord was taking something off of me. Like, it wasn't that I wanted them to change, but the Lord wanted me to change. He wanted me to be able to accept people no matter what, like to accept people despite their flaws, because God accepted me despite my flaws. So let's look at Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. So even when I was so mad at Marvin when he invited me to come here, I don't know if it was like 3 or 4 years ago, but I thought, I am just going to come to these meetings until I can figure out a way to get out of it. Because then there was like, what, 50 people out there in that room? And I couldn't breathe when I would walk in. And what, I would even have to try to go outside to breathe, but I had to time it to go out when the smokers weren't out there. So I'd have to go out while everybody was eating and stand out there and breathe a little bit and come back in. And I couldn't eat. I could not eat here because it was too many people too close together and they were sucking up all the air in the room. So it took coming back over and over and over. Like, don't do something and be like, that's too hard. Like, don't say, I can't do it. Oh, man.
They were hogging the air and sucking it up.
I know. Quit breathing so deep, man. But don't say what you can't do. Because remember, you're a new creation in Christ. The person who couldn't get along with people was your old man. The person who couldn't be family with people, the person who couldn't get over other people's faults, the person who couldn't walk away from an angry situation if somebody insults you, that's your old man.
Yeah.
You buried that man. You're a new creation, so you can do it.
Yeah.
All right, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Who's got it?
And let us consider how you may spur one another on toward love and good deeds.
Go on, verse 25.
Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
So we can stir one another up.
Yeah.
How many good ideas do you ever have just being home day after day by yourself? How many good ideas do you ever get? Do you ever just pop up in your head?
Same old TV shows.
Yeah, but when you get with like-minded people, when you get with like-minded people, you start talking about faith. You start talking about the Lord. Like, somebody was telling me the other day about this church has this school bus that they're not using, and they're thinking about, like, trying to do a, taking it into communities and doing, like, a kids program out of this bus, you know. And so it's like these conversations that start to stir something up inside of you. Somebody called me about using our ministry tents for Fryman Square the 21st of August. They're going to have 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 12 hours of prayer and worship. And so just these conversations, so as we're talking about it, it just started stirring me up when she's talking about it, because I'm like, we're going to worship for 12 hours in the park. And she's talking about walking around downtown, and I know it. And we're talking about walking around downtown and praying. And we're like, well, Lord, we need some things to change. We should get together and worship. I love worshiping with other people. So that's what he says. Let us consider one another. Why does he say that? Let us consider one another. Okay, I got to go real quick. Proverbs 6:16 to 19. This is Yep, this may surprise you. What would you say, okay, without looking at the scripture, what would you say is it would be something that the Lord hates?
Envy.
Don't you, you know the scripture. Envy?
What? Spirit.
What?
A haughty spirit.
You know the scripture, silence. What would somebody who don't know that scripture say of something that the Lord hates? CJ, what would you say the Lord hates?
Adultery.
Adultery? Anybody else want to throw something out there?
Evil.
Evil. Pardon?
Pride and envy.
Did you look at the scripture? All right. Well, you're smarter than you look, Missy. All right, Proverbs 6.
Proverbs 6.
16 to 19. Somebody read it besides Lyle.
Hey, how does that make you feel?
So seven things that the Lord hates, and it's all things that we do that hurt other people. That's what the Lord hates. Haughty eyes, when you look at somebody real proud, like you're better than they are. And even though I felt like I was less than the people in church, when I went there, I looked at them because I'm like, you don't know me. Like, you know what I mean? How you're feeling towards them? Like, you don't know nothing about life. You've probably been raised with a silver spoon in your mouth, and they have a nice house, and I'm mad at them because they raised their kids, you know. So I was looking at them the wrong, like, just that, a haughty eyes. Yeah. A lying tongue, like hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false person who lies, and a person who stirs up conflict. Everything that the Lord hates is what we do to each other. Like, the Lord does, like, so what would be the opposite of those? What's the opposite of a proud look? Nobody's ever had the opposite?
Being humble.
Being humble. Yeah, looking at somebody with grace. Pardon?
A contrite spirit.
A contrite spirit, which would be humble, right? Yeah, looking at somebody with acceptance. What would be the opposite of a lying tongue? Yeah. Yeah. What's the opposite of hands shedding innocent blood?
Helping others.
Helping others. And restoring people. Because hands that shed innocent blood can even be when you've told lies about somebody on purpose, like to make them look bad. You know, when people have went against them just because they don't like somebody. So the opposite of that would be to restore somebody when their value has just been stripped away from them. So the opposite would be to restore them. So what's the opposite of a heart that devises wicked plans? Pardon?
Holy plans. Sorry.
And make plans to do good. Make plans to do something good. We don't always got to rob somebody. We can do something good. The opposite of feet that are quick to be rushing to evil would be feet rushing to do good. I had seen somebody was getting, and I didn't even do nothing about it Sunday, and I felt so bad. This old guy, I seen he spilled water on his walker chair, and he was getting ready to sit down on it, and I thought, I should run up there and wipe that water off. And then I didn't want to look silly, so I didn't, and I let him sit in the water. And I should have rushed to do good. You know what I'm saying? I should have said, oh, wait, and I should have wiped that water off his seat. I should have done good. So the opposite of a false person who pours out lies would be a true witness and don't repeat gossip. And the opposite of a person stirring up conflict is to be a peacemaker. So, all right, it's 8 o'clock. Look, I didn't even get through the rest of my notes. Wait, so I'm going to say one more thing. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, that I thought like a child. The Lord says when you're a child, he lets you think like a child. But part of being a Christian is growing up. Growing up into relationships. You can't keep saying, oh, nobody cares about me. I don't need nobody looking out for me. I'm grown. I'm going to do this on my own. No, grow up. Grow up and be a part of this family. There.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Jose, you going to pray us out?